Well, I'm so happy to have with me in the studio today Pastor Reggie Scarborough from Lakeland, Florida. Reggie, thank you for coming to talk with us today about supernatural pastoring.
It's a joy, Brother Tony. I'm looking forward to this time together.
We had a good conversation a year or two ago, and you shared some just great things. And from that time, I've been thinking about how good it'd be to let a lot of pastors hear from you and just hear what just about who you are and how God's worked with you and how God's worked through you to build the church there in Lakeland. And
that's very kind of you, and I'm honored to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit. You've been pastoring in Lakeland, Florida for...
It'll be 21 years in August.
Okay. And it's a wonderful church. It's just I get to see churches all over, and yours just always has a real solid feel, very healthy feel, and just a great, great atmosphere. And
I appreciate that.
And I think that's due to what we're going to be talking about today, the influence of the Holy Spirit. And tell us about how you came to be there and maybe take us back to growing up in North Carolina. Just give us a little bit background.
Yeah, I grew up on the Outer Banks of North Carolina and just a little community of about 1,000 people. And when I grew up, to leave the islands, you had to go across a ferry. Unless you were going to another part, there was a bridge across. But anyhow, we grew up there on Roanoke Island, and so I was in a little Pentecostal church, only two churches, the Methodist Church and the Assembly of God Church in my community. And I grew up in the Pentecostal church, the Assembly of God Church. And my mom was very, very she was just a woman who loved God with all of her heart. And more than anything else, she wanted two things for her kids that I can remember specifically. She wanted us to love God and get a good education. Mm-hmm. Those were the two things that were important to her.
Mm-hmm. She had, and I don't know if it was you or somebody else, told me some stories about her that she was in sales, and was she kind of the first one to introduce you to the idea of being led by the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely.
Tell me about her.
My mom and dad were divorced when I was just a little boy of about 3 years of age. And so she just poured her heart into the Lord. Back then, they didn't believe you could remarry. And mom just dedicated her life to God and her children. And it was very important to her. And so I can remember her going in a room, you'd hear her praying. And she had talked to the Lord about where she should work. She sold Electrolux vacuum cleaners and World Book encyclopedias.
It's a door-to-door stuff.
Door-to-door. And there on the Outer Banks are a lot of little islands when you go south. And she would go work, one of the little villages south of our town. And but she'd go pray. She'd seek the Lord about where to go before she'd go. And the Lord would lead her. You know, it would seem like often. I wouldn't say every single time, but I'd say more often than not. Mm-hmm. She would have a sense of where to go. And she would talk about how the Lord would lead her. The beautiful part was she just did it naturally from a relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, I never was able to put it in words until I started hearing Brother Hagin years later. He explained things I saw her do in practice. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I was brought up, and I thank God for that heritage.
Now, you obviously didn't get into the ministry until a little bit later in your life.
Right. I was 35. Mm-hmm. I had been in business for 10 years. And would go out and speak just as a businessman. As a matter of fact, I'd go a lot of times speak on God wanting to bless people, and I would never take an offering. I was well provided for, and I didn't want them to think I was speaking on that for that reason. I was trying to bring people into liberty and bless their churches if they could ever get a release to understand how to be prospered through seed given and loving God and seeking first the kingdom of God and then following through with action. And I'd go to these churches and the heart to bless the pastors and the churches. And it was just a joy. And that's kind of how I got originally interested, because every time I'd be invited to go to a church while I was preparing, I would get so enthused about it that when I'd come back, I had no interest in what I was doing. And so finally it came to the point I said to myself, I either have to do one or the other because this is becoming frustrating. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what catapulted me on over.
Well, you started then young in life watching your mom really – maybe all the terminology wasn't there, but being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Entered into business, and you shared, or perhaps your associate recently shared with me, some stories about – when you were in business, that you took those same principles that you saw in your mom being led by the Holy Spirit And being led by the Spirit didn't start when you began pastoring.
No.
You followed him and those principles of divine leadership. Any quick stories that come to mind?
Well, I think about David, for starters, how he went out and killed the lion and the bear before he ever dealt with Goliath. And I think sometimes, just in life, we're being prepared, sometimes not even realizing it, we're being prepared for something later in life. And it was walking, killing the lions and the bears that really prepared me for more challenging things along the way. And I can definitely think of times how the Lord would lead me to, for instance, where to have my store. You know, so often people – I see that in the ministry. People will come up with the idea of, well, God wants me to pastor. But that's only one part of the equation. And you've got to find out, where does he want you to pastor? Mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of pastoring. You could choose the wrong town and have no results. Choose the right town and have great results. I truly believe in Lakeland, Florida, that I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. If I'd have gone to another town, we wouldn't have had the success we've seen. It's just I seem to be custom fit for where God put me and led me. But it started back with knowing the right mall to be in or malls. I was in two mall stores and a warehouse store and just led the direction. I remember one time just specifically I was around the corner in the mall with my store. And I kept sensing that the Lord wanted me to go to the center of the mall. I knew that that would be the best choice, but there was nothing available. You just couldn't do it. Yet I was being prompted and led. And I'd walk along the mall just quietly under my breath, praying in the Holy Spirit, and just asking, Lord, I thank you for a place in the middle of the mall, right in the center of the mall. Well, to make a long story short, eventually I had made my request known to the office I'd like to move. They actually moved out a big portion of a place to give me a nice facility. And the first month we were moved in there, I remember it was September, we paid off all construction costs and everything. It was incredible the difference it made just getting that prompting from the Holy Spirit. Well, once we start doing church buildings and all those things, it's the same prompting. It's not a different spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the same spirit.
So God doesn't have one Holy Spirit for pastors and one for businessmen.
No, no. And I think any time you share spiritual principles, you have to apply it to whatever area you're in. Maybe specifically some things, but most things, I just believe they transcend.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've noticed, and I say this, you know, to the listeners, I'm saying it about you, is that every time I've been at your church, I've never heard you complain once.
Well, I'll tell you, God's already done way more for me than I ever thought, so I have nothing to complain about. Mm-hmm. No, sir. I tell you, I think I'd be slapping God in the face to complain. He's been too good.
All right. Well, let's talk about I know you have a heart for pastors, and what are some of the things that have happened in your life that maybe would be beneficial to pastors that are listening when it comes to – because we've all sat under Brother Hagin's teaching. We've all heard the lessons about how to be led by the Spirit. But what's worked for you in your pastoring?
I think to back up just a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
When I was in the piano and organ business, as I mentioned, I would go out and speak. But very often by being in that particular business, people would come in, pastors would come in to look at a keyboard for their church. And I would seem to have a sense of pastors that would be struggling. And I would just lead into conversation with them, see if it opened up. And many, many times as I would talk to pastors, I would realize that the real problem they had was not their ability, but it was their following the Spirit. Hmm. That they would do so many things out of the head that it would trouble me. And I think to myself, and I must bring up Proverbs chapter 3, begin at verse 5, which says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Mm-hmm. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." I believed that, and I believe everything we do in the kingdom of God, whether it's getting somebody saved or filled with the Holy Spirit or delivered or whatever, it begins with faith in God. And you have to have faith to be led of the Spirit. You have to really believe that if you don't know which way to go, the principal thing, Solomon said, is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. And a lot of times that wisdom is knowing what to do because you can't see tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It may look like a wonderful idea today, mm-hmm. but if you can look 5 years ahead, it wouldn't be a wonderful idea. Well, the Holy Spirit knows 5 years ahead. I only know today. And so through wisdom, a house is built. And if you follow the Holy Spirit in your decision making, rather than what just looks good to the mind or the circumstances, it's amazing how the Lord will lead you. And you can look back. I remember going back again to the being in business. I remember when the Lord started dealing with me about moving out of one of the malls I was in. It looked like everything, those two, back then it wasn't a large mall, but it was two major stores in there, anchor stores we called them. And of course, like all malls, stores in between, I was in the middle of that. But I would just keep getting, as I'd pray, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but we can't talk about being led of the Spirit and not talk about prayer. Mm-hmm. But I would keep sensing the Lord wanted me to sell that facility. And anybody looking would have thought and really believed that I had inside information from somebody in the natural. Mm-hmm. Because after I'd moved out, only 2 months after I'd moved out of that mall, one of the major anchors left the mall, announced that they were leaving. I had no idea of that. And of course, there was, like any time something like that happens, there's going to be an adjustment period that can mm-hmm. be costly because your rent, your lease amounts do not go down because somebody's left. Mm-hmm. And so the traffic drops off and all the things happen that happen from that. Well, just following the Holy Spirit saved me. I don't know how much money. There's no telling how much money. Mm-hmm. And the way it worked out, it was good for the person who bought it, but they readjusted themselves and it turned out being a blessing for them. But in the particular business I was in, it would have been a travesty mm-hmm. just following.
So basically, as we've already mentioned, there's just an absolute parallel whether you're running a business or overseeing a church. The Holy Spirit shows you things to come.
Absolutely.
You have a responsibility as the owner of the business, as the pastor of the church. Probably one of your top priorities is to be sensitive to him.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And it's amazing to me how the Spirit of God and so many people are looking for that spectacular thing. Mm-hmm. And although there may be some of those things that happen in our lives, and most of us can look at a few of those in our lives, although usually not too many, as far as spectacular leadings, mm-hmm. most of them are a daily prompting of the Holy Spirit or just I probably would have to say I've gone more on checks than I have the Lord actually being the one who initiates the leading. Hmm. I will go to head in a direction. I think we ought to be busy in life. We ought to be think about the Apostle Paul. He's out on his road going from one town to another. He's on his way down to Mysia, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God checks him, and he'd go on down to Bithynia. He forbade him by the Spirit to go there, but the whole thing was the vision that he had of going to Macedonia. Mm-hmm. And so that was spectacular, and certainly there's that place. But if you think about it, when he said the Spirit forbid him, he must have had a check, mm-hmm. just a check in his spirit. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. And there's just times in the natural I've gone to do things that looked good and would have been good had all things been equal. Mm-hmm. But the Lord saw past that. And I would rather than say the Lord led me to do something, I would just have to say he led me not to. He checked okay. me from doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think buildings, sometimes you'll go to build a new church building or whatever, and you're assuming everything is as is. This is the growth we're having right now within – you're projecting 5 years or 7 years or whatever the case might be. And although you think the trend may be just the way it's going, the Holy Spirit knows beyond that. He may see exponential growth. Mm-hmm. Or he might see a minimizing of that growth, but he'll lead you according to that. Mm-hmm. And if you go plan just from your head, from your own experiences, the next thing you know, you've gotten in trouble. But if you'll look back, every mm-hmm. single time I've ever missed the Lord, I'll look back and he was trying to tell me. I just wasn't listening.
You overrode one of those checks.
Overrode the check. Mm-hmm.
There is a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 and 7, and let me share this. Just read it and then maybe you'll have some comment on it. When Saul was being anointed as the new king of Israel, Samuel, this is what he said to him in verse 6. He said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Now, that's a real dynamic spiritual experience.
Yes.
That's a dynamic, dramatic, kind of a sensational type thing. And then the very next verse, verse 7 says, "And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." Now, that just sounds more like common sense.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like at certain times there is going to be a dynamic leading. At other times, you're just supposed to use common sense.
I do believe that. And I think as we follow the Lord, there again, I think the first key to following the Lord is the sensitivity of spirit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think, well, maybe I'm not sensitive enough. But the truth is, through prayer, we tone our spirits. Mm-hmm. We condition our spirits through sensitivity. You know, God works in atmospheres, and your heart has to be in the right atmosphere mm-hmm. to get a leading, to follow the Holy Spirit. And I think the one thing the enemy wants to do is to drive us, whereas the Spirit leads us. And he wants to drive us so much we're not taking time to sensitize our spirits to the voice of God. I remember, and we all love Brother Hagin, and I remember one of the things that he said is most of the things that he was doing at the time. And this would be when he was in his 70s that I heard him say this. And I know he had said it years prior to that because I heard it on tapes. He said, "Most of the things I'm doing today, I prayed out in other tongues." Mm-hmm. And I think one of the greatest keys to truly being led of the Holy Spirit is the praying in tongues. And I think it's more from the aspect of just being in touch, in tune with the Father's spirits of just men made perfect. That as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you may be praying about other things, but the byproduct of that is it sensitizes your heart to the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. John said, In Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard. I think that the key to hearing, and hearing isn't always a spectacular voice. It's an inner knowing. It's an inner leading. To me, that's just as important, if not more important. Mm-hmm. I when I think about the spectacular leadings, I totally agree with Brother Hagin when he says sometimes it's best not to have those because rough sailing's ahead. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just a daily walking with God, praying, being sensitive, starting to move just from my own experiences or my own desires or what seems good to me in the natural, starting to move on that, and then either have a witness to do it or a check not to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, the practical side. There is the spectacular. I can think of times the Lord has warned me of something in a dream. Or maybe I've seen a quick glimpse of something in the Spirit as a warning. I thank God for those times. But they are few and far between compared to the daily walking with God. As a matter of fact, if I'm around a person that talks too much about spectacular leading, I'm very dubious of them. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, and again, I'm not expecting everyone else to live according to my experience, but most of the time, even if you go back to the book of Acts, it was not a daily occurrence. It was as you needed along the way. Mm-hmm. But it is true. A lot of times when you have those supernatural mm-hmm. Experiences, there's rough sailing ahead. Well, I'd just rather hear the Lord every day mm-hmm. and follow him and things work out good where I don't need that spectacular mm-hmm. leading.
Yeah. Well, when Paul had that vision of the man in Macedonia, come over here and help us.
Yes.
It wasn't too long till he'd been beaten with rods and thrown
That's
in jail.
Exactly right.
So there was rough sailing for him there.
That's exactly right.
Well, when going back to that example from the Bible, what is that, Acts 16, I think, Paul was going about his business. And it almost seems like it was more of a process of elimination.
Yes.
That he had certain things that he knew kind of generally, that he was going to go and preach the gospel. He was going to go and build churches. But as he did the general things, then he found the specific leading.
Well, the same thing happened, you know, with when David was chosen king. The prophet had come down to Jesse's house, and it was through the process of elimination that he was actually chosen. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times and I think this is where I want to bring this in. I think I'll just a little prompting about this. I think this is where pastors need to be very careful in presentation to their congregations.
Explain.
What I mean by that is this. When you get up and say the Lord said, now you've locked yourself in a box. I've learned that now I'm a little bit older than some of the pastors. I'm 57. And although there's a lot I'm still going to learn, I've learned a few things. And the one thing is be very careful when you say the Lord said. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the moment you do that, you're locked into what you've said. Now, I believe in confession, confession of the word. And when I absolutely know that I know that I know that I've heard the Lord, I can be a little more bold in saying the Lord has said. But many, many times you're going to make adjustments as you go along with the will of God. And it's very wise, pastors, to be hesitant to say the Lord said. Just as it seems good, we're going to head out this way. If the Lord happens to lead us a different way as we go or makes adjustments, we're going to do that. If you share that with your congregation, they're going to respect it a lot more mm-hmm. than you standing up and having to contradict what you said the Lord said.
Okay. Yeah, and the Lord changed his mind now.
Yeah,
gonna,
yeah.
And a lot of times it's a matter of adjusting. It's not a matter that the original idea was wrong. The scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, we know in part and
see
we in prophesy part. In part. And I think that brings a certain element of humility.
Absolutely.
That you can still be very bold about, you know, following after the will of God, but you don't need to present yourself as omniscient.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
That since I've gotten a word from God, now I'm all knowing. And,
yeah, yeah.
And 'cause there could be other parts to unfold. Many times it's a go into the city and it shall be told thee type of thing.
Absolutely.
You know the direction you've got to head, but there are more details, you know, to be worked out.
I remember going back when we bought the building that we're in right now. There actually were three parcels of land, buildings on each of them, and four. And so anyhow, when we made the initial purchase of the sanctuary that was already on the grounds, there were these other buildings that all had to be purchased in time. At least that would be our desire going into it, but not able to do it at first. And so I had made a contract to buy the facility that I thought was most needed. And I was just going to get an option on the other. But one day as I was praying, and I had said to the church, this is how we're going to start out. I'm not sure, you know, how we'll be led. I don't remember specifically how I said it, but I definitely let them know I'm going to be open to any changes or however the Lord will lead us.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, as I was praying one day, the Lord said, you've got it backwards. And he told me, he said, now I want you to buy this building and get an option on the other one.
Mm.
Well, because of the time, we weren't able to exercise that option when we were ready to. But because I had obeyed the Spirit, it was not a facility that was quickly picked up.
Mm.
Whereas the one that he had led me to buy was a corner location,
okay.
And it would have been sold.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back at the wisdom of the Spirit, how he said, you've just got this backwards. In other words, buy this building, get an option on the other one. It ended up, we bought the whole facility, all of the acreage, and saved, you know, probably $1.5 million just by listening to the Holy Spirit.
My goodness.
Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. I don't know how in the world pastors have any concept of trying to lead a church without following the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. And you've just made that an ultra high priority in your life.
It's my number one priority. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about people in our churches. We want to get people saved, and that's the first and highest priority is getting people into the kingdom of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. But once somebody is saved and filled, I feel like probably the third greatest message is to teach them to follow their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that with all of my heart. Before I go back to that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. We can find every one of those counterparts in the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I always – you know, I see people take Old Testament scriptures, make them say anything they want to. If I'm going to use Old Testament passages, I'm going to make sure that I can back them up with New Testament revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so those principles are there. It begins with faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no need to start in a building program or to start a church or to whatever you're doing without faith in God that you're going to be led of the Spirit of God, and whatever he leads you to do, he's going to do. And I have noticed that about God, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Where he leads, he provides
mm-hmm.
every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when I get ahead of him or do my own plan instead of his, he's not as quick to come through. Well, there's mercy, and thank God for that. But I have noticed this, where he leads, he provides.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not provision, you know, I've seen people, very dear friends of mine. I mean, we all have great friends. And I think of a couple right now that every time I see them, they're in a crisis. They're in a jam. Something is always, you know, got them in a real fix. And to me, it's because they've not been sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get offended at me, pastors, as you hear this, because I'm not coming across with that kind of a spirit. But what I am saying is God's not going to lead you into jams. He's not going to lead you where he can't pay the bill. And I really believe that. We've got to be very careful when it seems to become a pattern in our ministry, to me, that that if there's not provision, I would have to say back up a little bit and realize there was not leading. Mm-hmm. Where God leads, he provides.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the people listening, probably the majority, have never been to your church. And I'm not trying to exalt your church as being perfect or flawless, but wonderful, wonderful church. It
Thank
really
you.
Is. And when we talk about Pastor Reggie's church being a Spirit-led church, a lot of emphasis on the Holy Spirit, there's also a tremendous solid emphasis on the Word of God,
Absolutely.
Of course. And there's not the services I've been in, what, four or five, you know, four probably trips to your church. It's not wild. It's not chaotic. It's not everything's very decent and in order. But I'll tell you the one thing probably if I was going to give somebody a description of what I've seen in your church and how your people have been trained is that there is a tremendous reverence for the person of the Holy Spirit.
And I trust that's true. That's surely been a desire of mine to produce that from the sense of my leadership. Obviously, the Holy Spirit's the one who has to do it, but we put an emphasis on things and the Spirit mm-hmm. confirms it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that. I think one of the things when I think about the move of God, and we could talk all day long about issues about the move of God. So often we only know one or two moves of God, and we do not feel God has moved unless he moves in that vein. You know, for instance, I see people, the only time they really believe God has moved is everybody shouting and running and jumping. And I certainly am all for that, and we see that, and our church is free for that. But at the same time, some of the greater works are done when just the atmosphere is surcharged with the presence of God.
But not a real wild.
It's not wild. It's just the presence. Mm-hmm. I really believe if – you know, if you think about McDonald's, you think of Arches, you think of a franchise, you can think of many businesses today. Something particular stands out about it. But if there's a franchise – that I wish our churches had, all of our churches, it would be the presence of God. People ought to walk in our churches and sense God's there. Mm-hmm. And it may be a service where people are weeping, where the Spirit is going deep. It may be services where they're high praise and they're shouting and jumping and thanking God. And that's just as much a move of the Spirit. It's as he leads. Mm-hmm. And but it really does trouble me that we get off, it seems like, onto just one vein. You'll find many churches that they're just in one vein, and they've not seen that there's many rivers to the flow of the Spirit of God, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time, and I feel like this will bear with our conversation. I had come back after church. We had three services that day. It's a Sunday night, just going in to change into something relaxing and just sit down, maybe watch a little TV or whatever. And I was sort of grumbling when I went in the bedroom in my heart and just kind of from the sense of I wasn't real satisfied with the day. It hadn't seemed like much happened. And just as clearly as the Lord could speak to me other than audibly, it was just real in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, "You've had a great day in the Word." It was almost like a gentle rebuke. And I just paused and said, "Lord, that's the truth," right out loud. We have had a great day in the Word, it seems like. And then the Lord said this to me, "Some services, all I want is a move of my Spirit. Other services, all I want is my Word taught." And that was what that day was like. He said, "But more often than that is a combination of both." Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like again, not wanting to put my church in any position other than to say this, I feel like maybe if you come to my church and you're strong in the Word, my people are just as happy to receive the Word, be taught the Word without any particular manifestations that day. But they're also equally excited when somebody comes in and flows with manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that ought to be something that we could say about our churches. However the Lord's leading that particular day, follow that theme and stay with it. Some services, I'm telling you, you know, you might come to my church. If you come three times, it might be three services in a row. It just seems like it's one of those camp meeting times. The Holy Ghost is moving. People are happy. Next thing you know, you might come 3 weeks and it just seems like it's just word, word, word. Well, but when it's all said and done, we have followed the Holy Spirit, and that's where balance comes from, an equal mixing of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so certainly I don't want to be sounding as though I'm putting a high priority on just the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit means many things. Sometimes it is just teaching the Word.
I'm thinking of Elijah when he was, what was it, Mount Horeb, and he came out, and I don't remember the order, and I'm not looking at it in my Bible, but there was different expressions. It was the earthquake, and it was the fire, and it was the wind, and all these were very powerful, very powerful things. But after each of them, it says, but he was not in that earthquake.
That's right.
He was not in the wind, and he was not in the fire. But then there was the still small voice, and the Lord was in that, you know, still small voice speaking to him.
I remember years ago I went to a charismatic service, and obviously I'm not going to say whose service it was, but they were growing out arms and legs and doing a lot of things, you know. And don't get me wrong, I believe God can grow your arm out or your leg or whatever. I'm never take away from anything God wants to do. I'm just saying in this particular service, there was a lot of that kind of thing, but I didn't ever sense the presence of the Lord. And I remember going out and getting in my car, and tears running down my face. And I said, and I mean, I'm a layman at that time. I just knew there was such a hunger for the Spirit in me, I couldn't explain it. And although all of that was going on, I didn't sense the presence of God at all. And I sat in my car and I said, Lord Jesus, where are you? Where are you? We've got to make sure that in all that's going on, we never override the necessity of the presence of Jesus. He is the river of life. He is the living water. And when His Spirit comes, it is simply the presence of Jesus working in our midst. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
You don't force things.
No. No, as a matter of fact, I think every time you do that, you're going to end up with a flesh service rather than a Spirit-led service. And I think in following the Holy Spirit in a service, I'm always just looking for that key. It might be the Lord will deal with you to go minister to one person. Nothing much has happened until you come down and minister to that one person. You know, Jesus said, you know, a good shepherd, about talking about the 99, will be safe in the fold, but he'll go out and find that one lost sheep. Sometimes it's that one something that once you respond to that, being led of the Spirit, it opens the key to the Spirit in your services. Sometimes it's a song. I really work with our musicians, the leaders, to say, look, you know, if you sense the Spirit of God on a particular song, don't be quick to finish that song. Sing it, get the most out of it, because sometimes it's just that one moment. It might be a praise tune or it might be a worship tune. But whatever it is, when you sense God's presence on it, I mean, I don't know how some services you can come in and you'll sing the same song. And it's just a good normal service. It was good to sing, but there was nothing special about it. But then the very next Sunday, you might sing, or three Sundays later, you might sing the exact same song, and it's like fire's on it. Well, we've got to learn to go with the wind, the rain, the fire. Sometimes the fire comes because He wants to cleanse us. Sometimes the wind comes, He wants to spread it. Sometimes the rain comes because He wants to refresh us. And we ought to have all of those elements, I feel like, in a Spirit-led church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You're going to get me preaching. I don't mean to do that.
No, that's good preaching. I'm not going to stop you at all. One of the things I wanted to go back to what you said earlier, let me make one observation and then I want to ask you a question. An observation is that we've kind of talked about two different areas. Number one, we earlier started talking about kind of the behind the scenes being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then here in the latter part of this interview, we've talked about more the public service. And yet really it's the same Holy Spirit that wants to lead us both behind the scenes and in the public.
Well, I think that's part of the problem. We try to make twins out of the Holy Ghost, and He's the same. Mm-hmm. He's the same with your children. He's the same with your wife. There are times, you know, I don't have a perfect marriage. I'll tell anybody that. I have to work at it. My wife has to work at it. We love each other. Our problem's mm-hmm. never been love. Sometimes we didn't always get along. But we've had to work at things through the years. Mm-hmm. And I have found that if I will just pray and ask the Lord how to approach a certain situation, mm-hmm. He does a much better job at it than I do. Mm-hmm. I grew up without a dad. I haven't always known how to respond perfectly. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I don't think anybody loves each other more than we do. We truly love each other. Mm-hmm. But we've had to work at having a harmonious time. Mm-hmm. Thank God over the years it's emerged into that what I wanted years ago. But it took time and it took mm-hmm. work. But one of the things that I feel like in pastors, so often they don't have anybody to talk to. They're mm-hmm. they're alone. If they go to any member of their church, if they happen to leak that information, it hurts the pastor, and so he doesn't trust anyone. Or if he does happen to, a lot of times it comes back to him. So, you know, really and truly, as much as we like to include other people, before we even get worrying too much about that, we better get a working relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he'll fix your marriage. I remember years ago when B and I just – this is before the ministry, when it didn't look like our marriage was going to work. And I had actually planned to take my wife to North Carolina and leave her with her folks and come back to Florida and continue on in my business. And I was driving and we both loved the Lord. I was riding along in my car one afternoon, and just as clearly I heard the Lord just – it's like the Spirit of God got in my car and said to me, "Son, you're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers." Mm-hmm. And I understood for the first time in my life that what was going on in my marriage was not my wife and I. It was the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I see people so often, you know, it's like I say this in marriage counseling. Think of it as a boxing match. The only thing is your wife's not your opponent. Get mm-hmm. on the same side together mm-hmm. against a common opponent. But if the Spirit of God, like that day, he let me know what was wrong. It wasn't she and I. It was the enemy trying to destroy our home. Mm-hmm. There's no question he has some foresight. That's a debatable theological argument. But obviously Satan knows some things. He can see God's anointing on somebody. Why did he try to kill Moses? Why did he try to kill Jesus? I mean, mm-hmm. they're absolutely – I think he has glimpses of maybe what our life's supposed to be or what God wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's going to try to thwart that. But if we'll go back to following the Holy Spirit, he will lead us around these rocks. Mm-hmm. I know in boating you've got to stay in the channels, because if you get out, you'll run on sand or you'll run up against rocks or things. Well, life's the same way. Mm-hmm. But the channels, the Holy Spirit, he'll lead you and guide you in every area of your life. And that's why when we were talking about this, I don't think you can separate it out. Mm-hmm. You know, this is business and this is church. No, it's all one Holy Spirit. And yeah. And our spirit is alive unto God, whether we're a pastor or a businessman or a layman in the church. And yes, specifically, there's things about a church that certainly the pastors from a spiritual sense need to take hold of. Mm-hmm. But just being led of the Spirit is good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. But really, there's such a pressure, I think, and a tendency, a temptation that when it comes to public image, we want to look good. You know, we want to preach well. And, you know, we'd like to always think that all of our motives are because of the love of God. But, you know, probably ego, you know, comes in there sometimes. And so it would seem like we could even have wrong motivations in wanting to be led by the Spirit. In other words, I want to be led by the Spirit so people think I'm a great preacher or a powerful minister or something. But the motives, really, we need to allow him to work in those. But at the same time, we need to make sure – and I like what you brought up. I appreciate you sharing, you know, from your heart about that – that wanting to be led by the Spirit for ministry, but at the same time, you had to also yield to the Spirit to be a good husband.
There's people listening right now. There are pastors listening that have a really good public ministry, but they're failing privately. Mm-hmm. And my heart goes out to those people, because it was a time I had a lot of success in life, in my piano and organ business and real estate purchases and things I was doing before the ministry. it looked great on the outside, but I remember the day that I looked up to the heavens and I said, Lord, isn't there more to life than this? I lived in a 5-bedroom home. I had a boat that came up on a winch in my back dock. I had Mercedes-Benz in my garages, and life seemed really good to everyone looking, but we were not happy. And I had to call on the Lord, and I can honestly tell you, it was Him navigating us through those waters that I can say that's why we're together today. Mm-hmm. Don't be a public success and a private failure.
My goodness, that's powerful.
I'm just saying that. And even since I've been in the ministry, I can honestly say there have been times that I was more of a success in public than I was in private. Mm-hmm. But an honest heart says, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy for that. Mm-hmm. And my wife, in our case, it never was somebody else. It never was infidelity or those kinds of things. It was just not getting along, not being in harmony, not walking together. Mm-hmm. Amos 3:3 says, unless you know, how can you walk together except you be agreed? And the enemy's going to always try to put disagreements between people. You'll see that in church. Church is going along well. What's the enemy going to do? He's going to try to come in there and cause division. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, one of the statements I make, one of my friends laughs at me for saying this, but I have to sometimes put myself in the shoes of the enemy and ask myself the question, if I were the devil, what would I do? Mm-hmm. If I was in his place, what would I do? Mm-hmm. Well, I would go after that shepherd. And if I was going after that shepherd, I would look for a crack in that foundation, whether it's through one of the kids or the wife. Or the husband himself, whatever. I would look for that weak link. Mm-hmm. And so I say that's the enemy. He doesn't care how successful you are because he knows if he can tear up your home, eventually he's going to tear up everything else and the sheep are going to scatter.
Strike the sheep. And
the shepherd.
Our shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.
That's exactly right. And I know it sounds like we're meandering a little bit through the conversation, but I think that's how he leads. He leads in waters. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just have the sense that maybe somebody is listening, that they look real good in front of the people, but you're hurting. You're really hurting behind the scenes. And I just pray the Holy Spirit right now touch you. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe, you know, somebody says, well, this is going to be taped today and sent off tomorrow. Well, he's the Lord of tomorrow also. Mm-hmm. So he can just as easily address what's going to happen tomorrow as he can today.
Exactly.
And so right where you are, I really believe while you're sitting, while your heart's filling up, realizing that's you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you, just turn that over to him. He will show you. He will guide you out of that. Because the most important thing for you is to be a success in your home, and then you'll really be a powerhouse because you won't be living two lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 That's a very powerful word.
Amen.
And I think that is the Lord. I think, and that's going to apply to a lot more than one. I think that'll apply to many. But I just love the whole idea behind all that, that the Holy Spirit isn't just sent to make us anointed preachers. He's not just sent even to help us make good business decisions, whether it's the business of the church or the business of life, but really in the very core foundational issues of life. He's there to help us, and so we've got to have a relationship with him.
You know, I don't know why I keep getting back on this, but I've had times that – I remember one time I was complaining to the Lord about my wife. I don't know why we're on this. We're just going to follow it for a second.
By all means.
But I was really complaining about B. She's really a great gal. If you knew her, she's just hilarious and great. But I was really complaining about her to the Lord. And just as clearly, I heard the Lord say, I hold you responsible for what goes on in your home. Just like somebody slap you in the face and tell you that. And then I have to admit to you that as I started watching, I wasn't treating my wife right. I don't mean I was beating her or abusing her verbally or any of those things. But I wasn't tender. I wasn't being kind, and I really wasn't listening to her. Mm-hmm. Men, I want to tell you something. Your wife doesn't want you to fix everything. She wants you to listen. Mm-hmm. And we men by nature, if there's something broke, we want to fix it. But a lot of times they aren't looking for a repair. Mm-hmm. They just want you to listen. And when I started listening to my wife and preferring her and just putting her as number one rather than the kids or anything else, your job or whatever it is. There's so many things you can put in front of your marriage. But the most important thing you'll do is what you do with your marriage. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect your ministry. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect everything about your life. And so for whatever reason, I have kept coming back to that. But I feel like we've gotten that out. Praise God. Yeah.
We may need to retitle this instead of supernatural pastoring, call it supernatural husbanding or
I think that is supernatural
living.
Pastoring,
you know? It really is. Yeah. Let me go back to something you said earlier. You said that, and this is very early in this conversation we've had, you made the statement that in order to hear and correct me, I may not get this right, that in order to hear from the Holy Spirit that we've got to have our heart in the right atmosphere. Do you remember saying something like that?
Yes.
Am I getting that
generally
right?
I really believe that if we're going to talk about being led of the Spirit again, you've got to talk about prayer. I can tell you this, and I'll use an illustration about it in a moment. But if I go just a few days without prayer, people around me will know it. Mm-hmm. I once heard the story of a famous violinist, and he made this statement. He said, if I go one day without practicing, I know it. If I go 2 days without practicing, people close to me know it. He said, but if I go just 3 days without practicing, everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true. There's something about prayer that cocoons us. There's something about prayer that builds a shield about us and allows us to walk in the Spirit rather than in the natural. You know, I get very concerned when I hang around with friends and they want to talk so much. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not super spiritual here and I'm not spiritualizing things. But I believe that we should be more spiritual than we are natural. Now, I love natural things. My wife and I go horseback riding. We love that. There's things we do in the natural, watch a good movie together, whatever. I want you to know it's not all praying and it's not always, you know, something spiritual. But I think even in our play, even in our natural, we should never violate our hearts. Mm-hmm. And if you begin to violate your heart hardens. Mm-hmm. Well, the minute your heart hardens, you're not going to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. And the minute you say a word or the minute you do something that you sense the check of the Spirit or maybe you feel like you need a bath after that conversation, put yourself on guard to that because if you keep yielding to that mm-hmm. – eventually, your heart will become hardened, mm-hmm. and then you won't be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, prayer just does the opposite of that. When you get in the presence of God, you begin to talk to Jesus. And I want to say this. Make sure that your prayer time is not one-way conversation. Mm-hmm. I learned this a little later in my prayer life, that it's just as important to talk a while and to listen a while, mm-hmm. as more important than to do all the talking. Think for a moment if you're in the conversation with a friend and they're doing all the talking, you know, you don't really enjoy that friendship too much. It's a give and take. Mm-hmm. Well, God wants you to come in and fellowship with him and talk with him and then get silent. He said, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Mm-hmm. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, the song says, to wait. Waiting means that you're not necessarily talking. You're mm-hmm. just – David said something. He said, I commune with my own heart on my bed, mm-hmm. lying in the stillness of the night. Or I like to prostrate before the Lord and just take in. Mm-hmm. Saturdays, I am very careful not to get too natural. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a day I have to really wait. And I set the time at 3 o'clock. As a matter of fact, on my cell phone, I have it's kind of a PDA and it'll do all kinds of stuff. One mm-hmm. of the things I have it do is buzz me at 3 o'clock.
Every Saturday.
And every Saturday. I know that's the time for the next few hours I've got to go wait before God, work or maybe tune up my message or even put some of it together. But I've got to go wait in the presence of God for that next service. And I can tell you all this. There have been times that as I would do that on Saturdays and begin to wait in the presence of God, I would begin to sense intercession come on me. And I have never had, I can never remember a moment that I have had that, when I've had that come on me, that the very next day there wasn't always a good harvest of souls. Mm-hmm. There's a direct connection to intercession and seeing birthing of people being saved. And to me, there's no greater joy than to watch people start streaming down those aisles and coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful experience. And but I believe it begins in your heart with being sensitive, following the Holy Spirit. And then also, Brother Tony, in the service, I know there's a lot of – when I say a lot, I shouldn't say a lot. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but there are numerous times in the year that before the message is ever preached, I'll just get up and I'll have a chorus on my heart, begin to just sing it. Might be I Surrender All, whatever it might be. And you'll sense to draw in the net, and you'll get more people saved before. I joke with people and say I get more people saved before preaching to afterwards. No, it's the Holy Spirit drawing them that does it. And there's just so many host of things. You get on this subject, it's just you can't exhaust it.
You go a million directions. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think let's zero in on pastors as you've been doing, but zeroing in on pastors, you mentioned this atmosphere that is needed. And obviously through prayer, praise, worship, waiting on God, that type of thing. That's how that atmosphere is created, am I?
I think I would – yes, I agree with that. And I think that one thing I would say, one thing that will show your time with God is His time with you when you come out on the platform. Mm-hmm. I believe that if you've been alone with Him, He's going to show up with you.
That's
I really believe
powerful.
That. And something about that gives you faith for His presence to come. I know this. I can say this from my heart. When you wait on His presence, there is a boldness of expectation that comes inside you that without it you don't have. I don't have the boldness without that. By nature, I mean if you put me out in the marketplace, I'm by nature kind of a strong personality. But I have found that the Spirit needed to soften that in me. And I could be that again very easily and very quickly. But I have found that if I just wait on that atmosphere, first in His presence alone, He said if you go in the secret place or in the closet, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you see the Holy Spirit working in a man's ministry publicly, I'll guarantee you he's been somewhere privately with God.
What do you think are the enemies to the creation of that atmosphere in a pastor's life? Do any come to mind?
Well, I would say this. I think busyness, naturalness, maybe playing more than praying. I think every Christian needs some playtime. I think there's times you need to get out and have recreation and enjoyment. But if you're doing that more than praying, it's going to show up. You're going to be more natural in the pulpit, and you're going to – you know, whatever we are, that's what we produce. If you're carnal in your life, you're going to produce a carnal congregation. If you have a spiritual life where you live in the Spirit, your congregation and the those who don't want that, those are the ones who will drop by the wayside. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't want carnal people staying in my church in that state. I want them to either change or not be there. I have never been into the numbers. I thank God for the numbers that He's blessed us with. But I'm going to tell you, I first am interested in what we are spiritually before I'm interested in what we are naturally. So praise God.
Yeah. I heard you say something recently, and you made the statement that because of your high value that you place upon the Spirit's leadership in your life, that – if people are pressuring you or if you're feeling some kind of compulsion and things like that, that if you really sense that the Holy Spirit's not in it, you're just not going. And you said, you know, I'm not rebellious. I'm not being stubborn. But you really just do. You know, you're not just jumping on bandwagons. You're not just launching into big endeavors just because everybody else is doing it, just because somebody's, you know, putting the pressure on you to do it. Can you amplify that a little bit?
Yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, I think of dear friends over the years. There have been times I've seen them get in one crisis after another because they didn't follow the Holy Spirit. And then they'll call you and put pressure on you maybe to send them an offering or to help them or to whatever. I've had this just recently. And I just had to be honest with my friend and said, look, I will pray about it. But unless the Lord leads me, I'm not going to do anything about it because – and I feel this. If you've created the problem by not following the Holy Spirit, then why should I take what I have followed the Holy Spirit and been blessed with and give it to you? Now, that sounds a little bit wrong, but think about it for a moment. How would the enemy like to rob from you to get you trying to fix everybody's problems who didn't follow God. Mm-hmm. Same thing in your congregation. Don't let people pull your time because they've got a crisis. Now, listen, we're there for them. I have a great staff there, and I certainly spend time with my people myself. But I am – like for Saturdays, I am not going to be sitting somewhere with a couple who's in crisis, and then all of the people, the hundreds that are going to flow into those doors on Sunday get jeopardized. What I'm going to give them is jeopardized because of this couple's crisis. Mm-hmm. And the enemy will constantly try to steal from you if you make yourself vulnerable to everybody's crisis. Mm-hmm. And so – I'll see this in life. Not only that, sometimes it's just people's desire. They've got this great idea and they want to pressure you to do it with them. I just feel that you need to sense the leading, the wind of the Spirit. I know myself, if I go to start a project, and I've done it before, when I'd go start a project and you get in it a week or two or whatever, and you just don't feel the wind of the Spirit with it, I'll scrap it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to call you up, Tony, and try to talk you into, being a participant in maybe something that the wind would never end start with, mm-hmm. just because mm-hmm. I'm in a crisis, you know.
Right.
And I'm sure you, Brother Tony, you've experienced that, no question, you know. But
well, Pastor Reggie shared some great, great things, treasures and jewels, and I really appreciate what you're doing in Lakeland and appreciate your strong convictions and your high values upon the leading of the Holy Ghost. And my goodness, we'd all be better off to, you know, focus more, pay more attention there. Would you, before we go, would you just pray for the pastors that are listening? Just
yeah, and before I do, could I really say, Tony, I really count our friendship one of the greatest treasures of my life, and some of the materials you send out are such a blessing to all of us. And I know everyone listening today would like to thank you, and on behalf of all of those, I do sincerely thank you.
Thank you.
You're a precious man of God. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
and
sir.
I appreciate you. I do want to pray. That'll be great. Father, I just thank you today for this wonderful time that we've had together, just fellowshipping around the things of the Lord. And Father, I do thank you for each pastor, for your call upon their lives. And I pray for their families, for everything around them, the staff that they have, the workers in their church, the leadership that they are raising up. Father, we just thank you that we put at the top of our priority following the Holy Spirit, following the voice of our shepherd. Jesus, you said, my sheep know my voice. They know your voice. We know the voice of our shepherd. And I just thank you, Father, that when you speak to us, we listen and we follow that. We obey that. We yield to that. Thank you for those promptings and those urgings that you give us. And so for each one of us, Lord, I just pray that we'll follow you fully and that if we find an area in our lives that we need to adjust, that we're quick to adjust it. If there's an area in our lives we need to repent of, that we're quick to repent and follow your voice. Spirit of the living God, I believe all of us are saying before you, it's not by our might, it's not by our ability, but it is by your Spirit. And we thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Reggie.
Amen. Praise God.